You're listening to Rockwired Radio Profiles, exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. From Rockwired Sound in Albuquerque, New Mexico, of all places, this is Rockwired Radio Profiles with your host, Brian Lush, exclusively at rockwired.com. When you used to call me. Today, Rockwired Radio Profiles Natasha James and her brand new single, My Country Has the Blues. Stick around for more. Rockwired Radio Profiles is a production of Rockwired Media LLC, a limited liability company. Please stand by. Welcome to the latest edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles, exclusively at rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and the music is out there. And today, we're giving it up for Natasha James and her brand new single, My Country Has the Blues. Rockwired had a chance to speak with Natasha regarding her new release, and you'll hear all of that in just a few minutes. Here is Natasha James with her new single, My Country Has the Blues. That was Natasha James with her latest single, My Country Has the Blues. Visit Natasha at her official website, www.natashajames.com. Rockwired had a chance to speak with Natasha regarding her music and her new single, and here's how the interview went.
Well, to get things off, I can't think of a more timely single than My Country Has the Blues.
Yeah, it's proved even more right on than I thought when I wrote it, you know. It just keeps digging its heels in there, and it sure is, yeah. With all these Occupy, you know, Wall Street, Occupy Denver, Occupy Oakland, hey, it just might as well be an anthem, you know.
No kidding. And talk about all the reactions that you've gotten from it since you've released it.
Well, you know, from people from every political persuasion have written me, and basically they said what you've said, what a right-on, timely song, you know, and that they love it, and it's just echoing everybody's feelings right now, you know, everybody. But the nice thing is that everybody really gets the unity message, you know. I don't see a whole lot of mudslinging as much as we did before. I see people just going, wait a second, this isn't right, let's all get together and let's fix it. And I like that sentiment, because that way we're going to pull through.
I see. And I mean, I'm surprised that I don't ask more artists this question, especially now. But you know, how has the economy affected you as a independent, you know, artist touring and everything?
Well, you know, the business of music has been in the toilet for some time now, and the economy, being the way it is, has made it that much harder. A lot of festivals across the country and across the world have shut down. With the exception of there's one large music festival in Europe that was shut down in 1991, and they're bringing it back for next year. They've already hired a couple of the headline acts, three of them. We don't see a lot of hard sales, you know, in records, and that's gone since about 2008. You started to see dropping off a cliff just about. So some people did vinyl reissues, and those are selling. But the sales of digital singles, that's great, but, you know, that's not really the income you need as an artist to make a tour profitable. You know, and you can sell stuff. And tours never made money. You use the Upside Down, you make it up with merch. But I think everybody's getting hit. You know, I'm sure there's that 2% once again that are not really hit, but I don't know them.
Right, I don't know anyone who does either.
Everybody I talk to that's making a living at it is working harder to make the living that they made before.
I'll bet.
You know, and I know a lot of blues artists like that are in what I do. And we've always been the bread and butter, and we've never been the bling people. We've always been, you know, the people that play festivals that audiences come out to see, that really have, you know, cult fans. So we've always been able to make a decent living, but that living is really evaporating. So, you know, it's a big deal. But, you know, no worse than the rest of the country, for Pete's sake. You know, at least we play music for a living. At least we're blessed to be able to do something that we love to do, that makes people happy while we're doing it, that's in an environment where people are psyched to be happy and be excited and be enthusiastic. And so that, no matter the hardships, the work environment, even though certain things can be trying at times, you know, the inner dynamics of it all, that there's something to be said for working in a party atmosphere.
And I can't for the life of me figure out why blues music isn't at the top of the charts these days.
People don't want to feel down. they already got the blues. Gotcha. Well, I think he already has the blues. Hello.
Gotcha.
Yeah. They don't need more blues.
Well, back to the song. I mean, to talk about the moment where you said, I'm gonna write a song about this.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was talking with my personal manager, and he said, you know, why don't you write a song about this? And I said, well, okay. And I did. Simple as that. you know. And I thought, oh, all right. And sometimes, you know, you say you will, but it was just, it was surrounding all of my thinking, so, you know, it had to come out.
And in the age of the MP3, people are simply in the habit of just releasing singles instead of albums. Is there going to be an album attached to this single, or is this a one-off thing for you?
No, no, you're absolutely right. It is a singles era again. The difference is you don't put out an album with a few singles on it already. There's no difference anymore, really. We're doing what we did in the 50s and 60s, even though I wasn't doing it in the 60s and the starts of the 70s. We're releasing the single, then we'll release the album. There are 6 tracks in the can, Master, in answer to your question. And there is a sampler for My Country Has the Blues, which has 3 songs on it. Which is what we also used to do, you know what I mean? You pick the 3 songs you're going to end, but you know what? It doesn't make sense to do that anymore. It would have made more sense just to have the one and then just release the record. But, you know, who knew? And that's because unless you make the glass master nowadays, you know, the metadata can't go to a solely digitally released single. It has to be have a glass master for that metadata to be picked up, for the tracking to be picked up, you know. And you want that tracking in there. You want that, you know, identifier in there. So it's necessary to, if I'm talking to other independent artists out there who are tempted to only release digitally, that's good, but you can service radio that way, but you really got to have the glass master. So,
I mean, even though I deal with MP3s now almost exclusively these days, you know,
yes.
I do kind of miss that hard product, you know.
Yeah.
I do miss
yeah.
the cover. I do miss the artwork and things like that. You know.
Have you seen the cover to My Country Has the Blues?
I haven't.
Oh, my God.
Like I said, I just deal with
MP3s. Oh, but I would have thought our publicity would have gotten that to you. It is beautiful. It's Orange Crate art, Brian. It's just gorgeous. And we were driving back from the Ensenada Jazz Festival, and I turned to Ronnie. We were eating, breakfast at Harris Ranch. Or dinner, I don't remember. But at any rate, that's an eatery on I-5, and they have all this Orange Crate art on the wall. And I said, you know, talked about it. This is what we need for My Country Has the Blues. This is what we need. So we rolled back into town. Some friends of ours were playing a festival that day, and we had the car still loaded down with gear. We said, hey, heck, we're going to go check them out. Well, right across the way, there was a booth of this artist who did a lot of oil paintings, acrylics of Jack London and all this. And Ronnie looked over at me and says, I think this is our guy. Come check this artwork out. I said, all right. And I walked over there, and sure enough, it was the right style. Turned out he was an old friend of an old friend of mine, yada, yada, yada. At any rate, we commissioned him to do the artwork for the record. And I'm sorry it isn't a vinyl, because it's worthy of a vinyl cover. You know, it's really a cover that's a collectible. And he took from a photograph from Raymond Van Tassel did of me earlier, but then created the background he wanted with the Orange Crate art. And have Doug send you that artwork. It's gorgeous.
Oh, believe me, people are going to see it once the show gets posted. Believe me.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that.
I'm really proud of the artwork. I'm proud of our concept, and Don Ponte's painting was just tremendous, and it echoes all the feelings that I was trying to get across in not just the single, but the whole album. The album is it's a very upbeat record, and it cuts right to the quick of the soul. And, you know, there's some, not beat you over the head with spiritual messages in a New Agey kind of way, but just that my thoughts while I was writing this album were dealing with universal truisms that everybody, soul truths for everybody, you know. And so a lot of the songs are preoccupied with just how we feel as day-to-day, as people, with ourselves, with our relationships, with the world, you know, with our country, you know, just the whole thing. So there is somewhat of a theme, and, you know, once again, my records tend to have different parts of roots music in it. There's one song that's totally ragtime, There's another that's a country swing gospel. You know, there's another that's, what do you call it? Calypso. I'll call it Jimmy Buffett country.
Right. Calypso's about right, yeah.
Yeah. And then there's another one that kind of reminds me of a Deadwood, something you could hear on Deadwood, you know, musically. Remember that show, Deadwood?
Oh, yeah. Oh, on HBO, yeah.
Yeah, I love that show. Love that show. And, you know, then there's My Country Has the Blues, of course, and then there's one of my favorites, Angels with Broken Wings, which actually has been spinning out on a show out in Nebraska, so on an NPR station out there.
Oh, nice.
KZUM, actually, and I like the station. I like what they play. It's just a phenomenal playlist. Deb Anderson's out there. She has a show called The Women's Show, and she and Bridget London, the Highway Woman, and Courtney. Certain, you know, DJs have playlists that just floor you when you tune into them. And, that's certainly one of them. And I've been turned on to some amazing artists.
Visit Natasha at her official website, www.natashajames.com. Here is Natasha with the title track of her previous release, Tequila Time. Listening to Rockwired Radio Profiles exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. Rockwired.com is proud to present the Rockwired Artist of the Month, Nake Nulawaun, and their new release, The Definition. Armed with a potent mixture of beats and rhymes, Nake Nulawaun issues funkified jams such as Doubt, No Rest for Them Boys, and Airborne with honesty and conviction. Without a doubt, this is one hip-hop act that is ready at all times for anything. The Definition by Nake Nulawaun, Rockwire.com's Artist of the Month. Visit the band at Facebook or ReverbNation.com. Trying to grind a diamond in the rough ain't enough, trying to shine. I'm just trying to make a living, I'm just trying to survive. A 9-to-5 ain't enough if the music is live. I just want to... With a new name, a new sound, and a new direction, Revel 9 releases their debut CD, The Razorblade Diaries. Armed to the teeth with a potent combination of sturdy songcraft and pure rock and roll, Revel 9 is set to turn the industry on its ear with songs such as San Jose, All I've Become, and Lay My Head. Just a bit. The Razorblade Diaries from Revel 9. Visit the band at www.revel9.com. Singer-songwriter Mark Anderson has seen all of life's ups and downs and has lived to sing about them on his latest release, Back from the Edge. Mark Anderson hits a nerve with a collection of gritty rock gems and backing from an impressive cast of musicians. With songs such as Dog on a Chain, Cat House Blues, and the electrifying first single, Truth Is, Back from the Edge will have you on the edge of your seat. Back from the Edge from Mark Anderson. Visit Mark at www.markandersonrocks.com. Rockwire.com proudly presents our latest weekly series, Jazzed in Blue, Profiles in Blues and Jazz, with your host Brian Lush, exclusively at Rockwire.com, every Sunday at noon Eastern Standard Time. Get lost in the sensual sounds of blues and jazz and get the stories behind it. Jazzed in Blue, Profiles in Blues and Jazz, exclusively at Rockwire.com. Online radio that rocks. Rockwired Media is pleased to present a new weekly online radio series, Aboriginal Sounds, a celebration of contemporary Native music. Hear the exciting sound of Indigenous America and Canada in a weekly two-hour show filled with exclusive interviews and music from Indian country's hottest recording artists. Aboriginal Sound. A celebration of contemporary Native music with your host Brian Lush, every Thursday at 5 p.m. Mountain Time, exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. You're listening to Rockwired Radio Profiles, exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. Welcome back to the latest edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles, exclusively at rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and today we're giving it up for Natasha James and her brand new release, My Country Has the Blues. Rockwired had a chance to speak with Natasha regarding her music, and here's how the rest of the interview went.
And describe your songwriting process. How do you go about it?
Oh, I sit down and I write a song. Seriously. I mean, that's what I do. Sometimes I'll wake up from a dream, like Room 203, which is on this album. That one I woke up and I was writing, playing it in my dream, you know. And so I woke up with the tail ends of it in my head, so I got right to it. And I finished the song that day, you know, with all the verses and choruses and all that. And there's a funny story about that because I was out in an Office Depot. I kept trying to get out of my car. Another verse would come in, I'd run back to the car, get a pencil, write it down. I'd get to the door of Office Depot to turn around again. I did this 4 times. But the same people were outside the Office Depot looking at me. And they must have thought I was a right nutcase. You know, they'd watch me walk up to the door, probably shake my head, put my finger in the air, and dash back to my car, get in, sit down, put my head out, scribble, and get out again. Who knows what they thought. You know, that one came out. My Country Has the Blues, I had had the music already written, and then the lyrics came to me, and that was nice. And the same thing with Endless Frontier, which is that one that's kind of like Deadwood. That one, I had written the music, and then I wrote the lyrics. And the same thing with Ragtime Breakdown. Yeah, I wrote that one. As actually, I wrote the music when I was 18, many, many, many years ago, and which is unusual, and it ran around without lyrics for many years until I just decided, well, maybe I'll just make an instrumental of it. And then I realized that these lyrics I'd also written a long time ago were perfect for that music, and so that all came together really quickly, just like a flash, like, oh, remember these lyrics running around and this music running around? They belong together, which is unusual, because usually for me it's just the process of it comes out all at once. You know, I'll just be thinking about a song and singing the song, and then pick up the guitar or the keys or whatever, and then just nail it which way, you know, which inversion to chord, how I'm going to do the music to it. And then sometimes, you know, as you're putting your instrumentation together, the song kind of dictates what direction it's going to go in right then and there. You know, because you can take a song in a lot of different directions depending on your instrumentation and your arrangement. And Tequila Time, the title track of my last album, was like that. That song grew and grew into something that I love the way that song evolved. But other ones, you know, you decide, well, there's this on my first album, Bad Judgments, which, by the way, is number 19 on the Roots charts of the state of California.
Oh, wow.
It was released in 2008. And Tequila Time is number 7 on the Roots Country on the Internet Airplay chart. I'm blown away. It was number 1 for 6 months, which is pretty amazing. But there was a song, Harder, on the first record, which is a blues song. It came out like a Stax Volt era with the horns. Very big, wide song. But I have a version of that that's a very 1930s version, with a trombone with a damper on it and a lap steel and just my guitar. And it didn't hang with the rest of the record, so we didn't use that version. But it's a really interesting version of the tune. So, you know, it's depending on what you're doing with the tune, it kind of dictates how it's going to be.
What would you like people to come away with after they've heard My Country Has the Blues?
A big hell yeah, man. You know, I think it's a universal thing that you always want is, A, for the song to resonate for people, for them to dig the song, for it to make you think a little bit, and that song is a unifier, you know, which it says in the lyrics, you know. My Country Has the Blues, she's just like me and you, you know, she's trying hard, but she's confused, you better help her to get through, you know. I want people to feel a sense of unity and solidarity, and that we're going to get through these times. And it really is just one more blip on the horizon. America is a young country, and other countries that have been around for hundreds and hundreds of years have had devastating times over and over again. And I think in the consciousness of the American people, of us as a whole, we particularly, we've grown up with several generations of basic, serious prosperity. You know, this country became a global empire during the mindset of our grandparents, you know?
Right.
Post-World War I. So from our memories two generations back, our country has always been the global empire, you know? Whereas the generation prior to that, that was not the case. You know, it wasn't the States, it was England. And before that, it was France. So we've grown up with only the consciousness of our country being the major top dog, and we've known nothing else. In most other countries, they've been around a lot longer. These people have known it before. So for us, this is a really, you know, we had the Great Depression, and we've got this extended non-depression, if you will, that isn't really a depression. And I'm sure it's not as bad as it was in the Great Depression, but it's the worst we've all known. So, you know, that's our only frame of reference. So I don't think it's anything insurmountable. It's just that we've got to, you know, tighten up our belt loops, chin up. And remember, there's a lot of people right now that are making a heck of a lot of money off of this, too, you know.
Right.
There's also, in any big economic upheaval, there's opportunities. You know, and I mean, on a small scale, on a big scale, jobs are redefining themselves. Labor's not it. If the people that are in IT jobs, they're all doing fine. No, we've got to remember that there's a whole bunch of job opportunities in this country. They're just not the ones maybe that we're focused on normally associating with what our labor force is. Because our labor force in this country is probably not going to be defined as manual assembly labor anymore, for the simple reason that any entity is going to find the cheapest source of labor, and it's not here anymore. So, you know, our populace will find other things to do. But I'm not a politician, so
I'm musical. Thank God.
Right? Oh, I know. That's entirely too much responsibility, you know. I thought raising children was a big responsibility. Boy, raising a country is like raising a bunch of kids, you know that.
I know. Being a politician should be like jury duty.
Well, kind of it is, isn't it?
Yeah, but no one runs campaigns to be on a jury.
Yeah. No, they're on trial.
Yeah, exactly.
What would I like to, when the record comes out, which we're aiming for February, I think, again, for My Country Has the Blues, I can only hope that it will have as much legs as Tequila Time. I mean, Tequila Time broke the top five of every chart there is, except for the country chart, incidentally, which is kind of funny.
Weird, yeah.
Wayne is it one country album of the year, and I don't know, country song of the year, but it stayed on the Roots charts, and it was released in 2009. It was number one for over 6 months. It's pretty amazing. This year, in 2011, 2 years later, you know, and it's still up there. It's number seven. I mean, it's just really got legs, you know. Both of the other albums do, and I hope that My Country Has the Blues does as well. You know, and the music, what we've heard from people is a lot of people, oh, I like this better than the last one. I didn't think I could, but I do. People that have heard all six songs that are done, you know. So that's always good to hear.
Visit Natasha at her official website, www.natashajames.com. Here is Natasha James once more with If You Think This Is Love.
make you feel like that.
That's going to do it for this edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles. A special thanks goes out to Natasha James for her time and her music, and to Doug Deutsch of Doug Deutsch Publicity Services. For Rockwired, I'm Brian Lush, and remember, keep your eyes forward, never look back, and make it up as you go. Rockwired Radio Profiles is a production of Rockwired Media, LLC. A limited liability company, and is available exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. Behind us, but let's not be alone.